You're listening to the Namaste Babe podcast, a high vibe hangout for the spiritually woke woman ready to make quantum leaps in her life, business, and bank account. I'm your host, Kiki Yura, and I refuse to play by the rules. I'm an ex-9-to-5er turned spiritual life and business coach, master NLP practitioner, and founder of the Namaste Babe brand. I'm here to lead you into your divinity so you can manifest a life and business you are wildly obsessed with. Each week, you can expect episodes from myself and guest experts who are leaders in their field. The episodes are dedicated to your expansion on all things mindset, money, and manifestation. It is my intention that these episodes help you raise your vibration, tune into your truth, and step into a life you fucking love. Are you ready? Let's slay. Hey, hello, how are you, Namaslayers? I am stoked. We are doing something pretty epic today. We are welcoming the very first male guest, the Namaste Babe podcast, and I couldn't be more excited to bestow this honor to my longtime friend, Matt Zerker. How are you?
I am wonderful, and I just want to say I am so honored to be your guest. Actually, I wanted to swear there. Is swearing okay on this podcast?
Oh, swearing is all good.
Okay, I am so fucking pumped to be the first male guest on this podcast. It's an honor. It's a privilege. You're doing wonderful stuff, so I'm happy to be here.
I love you. I am so fully receiving that. You and I have had some adventures together. We go all the way back to high school, and you know, there were a few years in between there where we lost touch, but I have to say, I was just so excited when you reached out last year, and we reconnected over a massive plate of pasta. And that night you kind of shared with me, you know, what the journey that you had been on, and you told me that my journey kind of inspired you and to reach out and reconnect. And this has led to you now becoming the founder and CEO of Tether. So why don't you tell people, actually, okay, before we go into Tether, why don't you tell people a little bit about your story and what got you to this point?
Oh God, how much time do we have? So, I mean, the kind of quick and dirty version of the story is really kind of goes back to, I mean, it goes back to childhood, but it really started to catalyze and crystallize in 2018, even though I didn't know it at the time. You know, I've suffered with anxiety, depression, you know, for most of my life, and I was bullied very heavily as a kid. And that kind of left me with a lot of self-worth issues. You know, my parents have been unbelievable and have provided me with all of the support that you could possibly want, you know, financially, mentally, and all of these kinds of things. But, you know, I'm a very emotional person. And I think my parents are not quite on that level with me. And so there was always like this feeling of like a little bit of a disconnect with them. And I didn't ever really know why. But this never stopped them from showing up. So it was just this feeling I had where it's like I couldn't quite connect emotionally with the people that were closest to me. And then I also felt alone because I didn't have a lot of friends, to be honest, you know, growing up for a lot of years. And so what really happened and what kind of brought me to Tether was in 2018, I was working in finance. You know, I just wasn't very happy. I was kind of, I was doing drugs, I was drinking, and just wasn't feeling like my life was going anywhere. It was actually feel like it was going downhill pretty quick. And I didn't know what was really going on with me. And I had this friend who, I lived in a townhouse complex, and we had a sort of adjacent balconies across this little pathway, and we were kind of kitty cornered to each other, and we met. We were outside one day, we were actually having a cigarette, and he yelled across me and he said, like, "Who the fuck are you?" And this is like the first night that both of us had actually been living in this place, and I was just like, "Oh, my name is Matt." And we started chatting, and You know, he very quickly became one of my closest friends over the course of a period of a few years, and we spent a lot of time together. And, you know, he was one of those guys that, you know, really was willing to allow me to open up and share what I was going through. He gave me a tremendous amount of support. And one day in January 2018, he had been dealing with a pneumonia for like a few weeks. But, you know, I mean, guys get pneumonia and it kind of, you know, works out and all this kind of stuff. And I got a call one day and I heard that he had died. He started, you know, he was in his apartment with his roommate at the time, and he had started vomiting into a bathtub. And his roommate was like, okay, we really need to get you to the hospital to figure this out. And, you know, they couldn't get the gurney from the ambulance up the stairs because they were too narrow. So they had to walk him out of the unit. And when he hit the landing right before he was going to get on the gurney, he dropped to the ground and never got back up again. And that moment, losing somebody who was that important to me, you know, and that connected to me, was it was devastating. And I went to the darkest place I've ever been. I feel like a lot of people, when something like that happens, when they lose somebody close to them at a very young age, they kind of either go down this path of, I'm just going to live every day like it's my last, or they kind of go down this path of, you know, what does this all mean? And I definitely went down the latter. I was suicidally depressed for a period of time. I really started trying all of these different treatments, therapies, things like that. And it just felt like I wasn't really making any progress at all. But I was, you know, sort of, as we were talking about before we hopped on this call, kind of chipping away at these layers and like a lifetime of fear and anxiety and you know, lack of connection with myself and others. And I happened to run across a friend of mine who we had known each other back in the day, and he suggested that I actually join this men's group with him. And I said, okay, well, I'll give it a shot. I've never done this, but like, I'm desperate, so I'll give it a shot. And I went, and like the experience that I had in that first group, it was this really feeling like I was actually seen by a group of men. I felt like my feelings were being truly honored and held in this space. And it was unlike anything I'd ever experienced in a room of men, where, you know, the whole goal, the whole objective of what we were doing was to be like the most unvarnished, messy, shitty versions of ourselves. And that was totally okay. I ended up subsequently going to a men's retreat in April of the next year. So this was like, I want to say, November, I joined this group of 2018. And then in April of 2019, I decided to go on this men's retreat down in the US. And it was like, again, one of these massive experiences where it felt like my entire system was blown wide open. The doors came off and everything like that. I did this thing called a healing journey while I was down there, which is like a somatic experiential based, you know, process where you actually start to like move through some trauma, move through a life event, very much like we've done together in the past, right? Where we're actually like putting ourselves back in a moment and visualizing ourselves going through that. And it was just this massively, I'd been waking up with panic attacks every single morning for a period of 9 months. And the next day after doing that was the first time in 9 months that I woke up and I was actually able to lie in bed with any kind of semblance of peace. And I just sort of was like, there's something here and I don't know what it was. Anyways, I got back from that retreat on a Monday and I ended up quitting my job in finance on the Wednesday without any plan of what I was going to do, without any knowledge of how I was going to do it. It was a place where I was privileged to be able to do that because, you know, I come from a family where, you know, there's some means and I'd saved money and I could afford to do that. I know that's not the case for a lot of people. So I was very fortunate to be able to do that. I was also very fortunate then to be able to go and actually travel in Asia for 6 weeks just to kind of, you know, clear my head. I also always wanted to do some traveling. I got in a motorcycle accident when I was there. That was fun. And I came back and I really wanted to do something meaningful in the mental health and wellness space. And I didn't quite know what it was. And, you know, I was having a conversation I was having a conversation with a friend, and, you know, anyway, we went down this rabbit hole on connection and, you know, men and all of this type of stuff. And all of a sudden this feeling just hit me where, it was like a kind of an aha moment. I was like, I just need to like provide a space where men feel safe to share openly and honestly, where they can actually dig into their feelings and their emotions with other men and really feel, again, I use this word a lot, but this idea of emotional safety, creating a container where that type of work can actually happen. It just hit me like a wave. And really ever since, I've kind of been on this journey of trying to figure out, as somebody with no background in tech, as somebody who cannot code, as somebody who really only has, you know, sales experience and like, you know, a vague ability to be able to convince people that the stuff going on in this head actually might be a thing that, you know, they should take interest in. You know, coming from a sales background, that was really all I had, was this desire, this will, and like a small toolkit. And we're actually, as we speak now, we're launching in about 5 days, and there's a full working app. We're a real company, at least according to the government of Ontario, we're a real company.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're slowly building on that. So that would be the story of how I kind of got to this point.
I love, there's so many pieces of that story that I'm just, I mean, you and I have talked about this before, but I'm just sitting here and I'm like, except the key difference is that women, and we'll get into this in a minute, but women.
Oh yeah. And I'm ready to like talk about women and their role in all of this. So like I'm game. Let's drop all, in. On
yeah, it. For sure. And we'll talk about it in a second, but I,
for sure,
this idea that it's okay, it's expected of women to be able to feel those things. And so I'm excited to dive into that, but I just, as you're telling me all of these things, I'm like, oh, I need to say thank you. Like, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for, you know, honoring that call, for quitting your job, for going and doing that traveling, for joining, like just the yeses, the things that come up in your soul, in your gut. And I want everyone listening to really just drive this in, is that this is where the magic happens. This is where it's like you get this idea, you get this nudge, and you follow it. And all of these things, the universe just aligns for you to be able to have experience after experience after experience, idea after idea after idea, whatever the case may be. People, opportunities, places, things, all of it just aligns when you honor what's inside of you. You came here with this gift. And as you and I were talking about before, it's like the universe told you, you had this mission. It wasn't an asking, it was a telling. And so
that brings with it its own level of crippling anxiety. No,
so much. And it's
no pressure, but you were told to do this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No pressure. So Tether in and of itself is a men's peer-to-peer support community that is creating a safe space for men to share openly about their challenges mentally and emotionally, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yes, absolutely. On both sides of the coin, mentally and emotionally. And I think one of the biggest things that I've discovered through this process, well, there's probably three big things that I've learned from now speaking to hundreds of men in, you know, both formal and informal conversations, and also experiencing men's work and going on retreats. And I've gone on another one since. And I did men's emotional leadership training as well, to sort of go even deeper into this work. But there's a couple key things that I think men are looking for right now. Is first off, they don't feel like their emotions are valid, right? And so there's this idea that if I express my emotions, I'm actually making myself unsafe in some way. Mm-hmm. So men are really craving emotional safety right now. Which is a really interesting thing. And I think a lot of men don't even know how to give that to themselves or how to get that. The other thing that I know men are looking for is other men who have been through experiences that they've been through, who they can reach out to and rely on, and actually get that, you know, sort of real tactile in the field kind of experience where they can say, okay, this is somebody who's experienced this before. This is somebody who's gone through the same thing. How, you know, not only do I know just like that it's possible to get through this, but then I also have some resources and some guidepost as to how I can start to navigate myself through this. And then the other part is leadership, right? And men really want to be inspired by other men who are doing great work. And I don't mean just great work, if, you know, having like a Fortune 500 company or a big house or a fucking car or all that kind of shit. It's like, it's really more so about men respecting other men who are showing up fully in their lives, who are being great fathers, who are being great husbands, who are being great partners, sons, nephews, you know, business leaders, you know, gas station attendants, whatever the thing is that you're doing, but showing up fully in that way. And, you know, we're really starting to sort of understand what this community needs. And then what we're trying to do now as well is build a solution around it, build something that actually allows men to hit on these three key areas and actually build the life and become the men that they really truly want to be. And I think that's the biggest thing, is that all men are doing these things, wanting to feel emotionally safe, wanting to find other men to talk to, and also looking for leadership, because I think they truly do want to live these powerfully connected lives, and they want to become the men that they think that they can be, and they want to experience that openness and that vastness within themselves. And when you get a taste of it, it's super addictive.
It's like so addictive.
You just want more and more and more of it. I know that from my journey, you know, whether it be, you know, through the men's work, or, you know, even through psychedelics or other, you know, plant-based medicines and stuff like that. When you get a sense of the vastness and the openness and the ease of being truly in yourself and truly in your path, it's a massive, massive thing that you just like, you're like, how can I get back there?
Yes, absolutely. My personal growth journey, it's like these layers of the onion, right? And as you go deeper, you're like, it's this craving. It's like, okay, I've seen all of this growth in such a short period of time. It's like, and I'm only scratching the surface. Like, what is out there? And we're all here to become the best possible versions of ourselves, right? For at least those with the calling within us and those that are wanting. I talk about this all the time when it comes to, like, first of all, you're talking about this idea of the mind, body, soul connection. Like, that's not just something for women to have. That is for every human being to have, in that integration. Mm-hmm. Because when you're in that space, life is going to happen. But when you're in that space, it is just flow. It is ease. It is effortlessness. You get to do life. And at each new level you get to, you're going to find new challenges. But over time, the more work that you do on yourself, the more equipped you are to be able to handle whatever life throws at you. And that is why I love personal development. That is why I am a forever learner and going deeper into this all the time and expanding the tools that I have in my toolkit, because it allows not only myself to be able to handle whatever life throws at me, but then support others in their journey as well. And I think, what was the other thing? There was something else I was going to say, but I can't remember. So
I'm sure it'll come back to you.
It'll come to me. So I'd love to, I mean, I know where I stand on this and how I've seen this play out in my personal life with the men who are maybe not, oh, that's what I was going to get at, is that just we're in this stage. And I think there are the people who are realizing it, that we're in this stage of shifting our consciousness, right? And elevating into a higher consciousness. And people are waking up. And this is one of the ways that people are waking up to it, is like, this work isn't just for women, it's for men too. And the men that are wanting to be able to process their emotions and have that space to do so without this label. This is what it's all coming together. But this,
there you go. Yeah.
Label of
follow the thread.
Yeah, exactly. Being less than or not seen as manly because they're, and I think you do such a beautiful job of this, is like, I don't see you as any different than the person. I see you as an evolved version of yourself from the person that I knew in high school. But of course, I'm sure you see the same of me, right? And like, you and I were both in this dark era of drinking and drugs and doing all of the things. And, you know, I had my suicide attempt very early in life. I, or you know, you had the suicidal tendencies, but I was 13 and I tried to, because I was in the exact same place as you with, you know, not having a lot of friends and being bullied and not, you know, feeling supported. And for the longest time, I closed myself off as well to those kind of emotions and being an emotional person and feeling the feelings. And so I think it's expected of women to feel emotional and be emotional, but it's not okay for men. And I would just love kind of maybe your insight on why, just I guess diving into this idea of toxic masculinity. I don't really have a question for you, but like,
why
that men can't fully express themselves.
Yeah. And I actually want to come back to the label of toxic masculinity, because it's one that I've played with a lot. And I don't really think it actually encourages men to actually become better men. I think it actually creates anger and resentment or shame. And I think in both of those instances, and I can go into that after, but like in both of those instances, you're not actually allowing men to come to the table, because you're labeling something that is so integral and part of them, which is their masculinity, as something that is toxic, right? So, I mean, I can go down a bit down the rabbit hole on that, because I actually think there's a really, there's a better way to actually get the outcomes of what people are trying to drive at by using that term, which is actually for men to wake up and to embrace this emotional whole part of themselves, and then taking that and realizing that the way that they treat themselves is actually the way that they treat others, right? So really, like, because this is the thing, is like, if you love yourself, you don't do shitty things to other people,
right?
It's basically impossible to do shitty things to other people if you are truly living in a full version of yourself and you truly feel whole and you truly feel loved by yourself and just the world around you. But there's multiple layers to that question, right? And I'll kind of go through a few of them. First, at the top layer, there is just a programming in society that says that men should be self-reliant. We should be unemotional. We should be stoic. You know, we should be that guy with, like, you know, the bear that he has killed with his bare hands, like, draped over him as he's going through the woods, you know, with, you know, his children and his wife on his back. And, you know, he's like the epitome of, like, you know, strength and resilience and
provider
and power, right? And emotions have no place in that, right? You know, there's no stories, there's no heroic stories of men who had to take a second to do some deep breathing and started to cry a little bit before they went again on their journey, right? That's just not how those stories are written, right? And so when we start to have these feelings and when we start to connect with ourselves emotionally and we start to realize, like, fuck, I don't have this all together and I'm afraid and I'm worried and I feel uncertain, I'm feeling that today, and I was saying this to you before the call. It is super hard to drop into that, because every part of our being is saying we shouldn't be feeling this way, right? We should be able to just man up, in air quotes, right? As the saying goes, right? There's that whole idea that real men don't cry and all of that kind of stuff. And so what that then does is it puts men at odds with their feelings, right? Where anything that is coming up, they are now in opposition to it. They are not they're in resistance to what they're feeling, because any acknowledgement or acceptance of the fact that there's fear or emotion or sadness or whatever is then admitting that you are not the man that, you know, is in the, you know, that's in the commercials.
Right.
Right. So in order, and you know this very well, in order to get through something, you have to stop resisting it, right? Mm-hmm. So you literally have to come onto the same side of the table with those emotions. But for men to come around to that side of the table is to then admit that you're not the man from the commercials.
Right.
So that is the first piece, right? Is that, you know, the fundamental thing to working through some of these things is to actually then admit that idea of masculinity, that idea that real men don't cry, is BS, and that all human beings have emotions, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the saddest things, and why this is perpetuated, is because you have generation after generation after generation of men who have not felt safe or or like it's acceptable for them to feel their feelings in any kind of way. And so that father doesn't feel like he can express his feelings. His son feels like he's emotionally closed off from his father. His father teaches him to suck it up, stiff upper lip, keep walking along. And then that son gets programmed with that. And then it just goes on and on and on and on.
That generational trauma piece. And you
exactly.
have to be the one to close the gap, to close the loop.
Yeah, and the loop, right? And then there's this other thing. And it's like, you know, and I'm talking from like a cisgendered heterosexual perspective here for me. Is that, you know, for cisgendered heterosexual males, like we really want to impress women, you know, speaking for, you know, we really want to date women and we want women to, you know, to be our partners. And, you know, we, you know, a lot of us want to have multiple partners and like, you know, but the point is that it's like, there's this feeling like if we are not that epitome of masculinity, that women won't want us as well. And we're afraid that we won't get, you know, we won't be promoted in companies. We won't be leaders, you know, all of these types of things. So it starts to get into all of these really messy areas. And then the biggest problem, and this is kind of where it dovetails back to this idea of toxic masculinity and that term that I don't like, where it dovetails back is that when you do not feel the sadness, when you do not feel the shame, when you do not feel the guilt, when you do not feel all of these things within you, what ends up happening is a resistance is created within you. Mm-hmm. And that's where anger and, you know, displays of aggression and all of those things come from, because what you're feeling is that I cannot be truly authentically myself and I cannot be truly authentically emotional. And there's pain, and then you want to take that out on something or somebody or whatever. Or the other side of it is that you just detach from society entirely, right? And then you get, you know, people by computers who are being keyboard warriors, who are playing, you know, video games for 15 hours a day, right? So then it creates this dichotomy of people who become then outwardly aggressive and angry towards society, or who just say, I'm not even going to play that game. And
they're
I'm
going recluse. To
go in here and shut down. Yeah. Right. But neither option is good for all of society. Right. What's good for all of society is for men to be feeling these things and then coming into the public discourse. Right. So this is another thing. Right. Is then, you know, when we label it toxic. Right. When we label that term toxic, you know, what it ends up creating is either anger or shame. Right. Nobody feels, no guys feel good about hearing those words. And we understand the sentiment, or at least a lot of us do, which is that women, people that don't identify with traditional gender norms or whatever, that any person really just wants men to, you know, step up, to not be such shitty people, to not be assholes, right? And to treat everybody like they deserve to be treated. But when you use that term, it either causes anger or shame. Right. So what I really try and focus on is saying, you know, this is not about any of these labels or terms. Really what this is about is men feeling their feelings truly, authentically, and completely. And what's really interesting is when men are given the space to be authentic and true, and their emotions are valued by everybody and including the men. And this is the big part. Is men don't feel safe sharing these things with other men. And that was the big linchpin piece for me, is once I saw that other men could hold space for me, my world opened up in ways that I couldn't even possibly imagine. So when we give men the space to actually be authentic, to fully feel their feelings, what ends up happening is you actually dissipate the anger, you dissipate mm-hmm. the shame. And so you bring people to the table, and you bring people to the table who feel seen. And that's the most powerful part, is when somebody actually feels like they are seen, truly, truly seen, they can listen and they can be an equal partner at the table. They can come around to your side of the table and say, yes, you know what? That was not okay. And I'm going to do better tomorrow. Right. Or I'm going to change the way that I actually operate. So I think really it's like by actually creating, you know, a society where men's emotions are actually welcomed and where there's a container for them, you know, we're not only changing those men's lives by actually making them feel seen, we're changing the lives of everybody that they interact with, men, women, you know, people who identify, you know, according to whatever gender or whatever way they choose to identify. It literally changes the way that society functions, because now you have this massive component of a society that previously felt that they couldn't be truly authentic, and now they can. And that, I think, is what changes the world.
The ripple effect that you are creating in the world, it's always goes back to the idea of be the change, right? And so I'm so grateful that you are here and you are doing this work. It's incredible. And one of the things that were this phrase that kept coming up for me as you're sitting there and describing this is the idea of emotional intelligence, right? Being able to label your emotions and feel them and express them in a constructive and productive manner, right? A lot of the time when you've got that anger and you've got that rage, it bubbles within you. I've known this because I have been in a relationship with one of these people. I have lived with one of these people. Is that you can't fully express yourself, and so it just comes out as nothing productive. Right?
But yeah,
go ahead.
No, it becomes like your emotions become weaponized. Right?
Oh, so yeah. Good.
And your emotions become weaponized, and like, this is where it's like, you know, and then for a lot of women too, right, it's like they're like, you know, I have this, you know, and I'm talking about like in a heterosexual relationship, because you're referring to like an ex-boyfriend of yours, so let's go into that situation, right, where you're like, you know, none of this is productive, right? And you know, what's super interesting is that, you know, I've seen men actually fully dive into, you know, their feelings of shame, guilt, remorse. And like, and what I would say is like in those situations where it feels like you're being treated unfairly, it is happening to you, but it's also really about that person and all of this unprocessed shit that's underneath the surface that's causing this reaction. If that was a whole person and if they felt truly heard, you know, validated, all of that kind of stuff, they would actually be able to like listen to what you're saying and say, oh, okay, you know what, I'm gonna try to do that differently
and not turn it into a fight or, you know, a threatening of a breakup or, you know, just using like, and this comes back to the idea of like unhealthy boundaries and all of that, or no boundaries, right? But
And unfortunately, in a lot of heterosexual relationships between men and women, women are carrying the emotional burden for their partners, because you're the only person that they can actually be in any way emotional with, because we've been taught that it's unsafe to then communicate with men.
Right.
And so one of the really cool things about this is that I think women are dealing with the vast majority of the emotional burden in society, because, you know, men are not sharing this stuff with themselves, with each other, right? They're not tapping into it. And then it's coming out in these like passive aggressive, hostile, you know, overtly aggressive, abusive ways, whatever it may be, because there isn't the space for them to actually process that in a healthy way, right? And they don't feel like they can then go to any of their male friends, or they don't have any male friends where they can actually have this conversation. And that's why it's so important for this to be man to man. Right?
Yes.
It's because that fundamental level of safety needs to occur, not only between, because men know they can go to women when they have things with their emotions, because women are supposedly more emotional,
right?
And more in touch with their feelings. But the real safety is created when men share openly with each other. That's when the rubber really starts to meet the road. And that's when a lot of the burden that I think is being put on women from a male emotional perspective gets lifted, because suddenly there's a release valve over here. Suddenly they feel seen. Suddenly they don't feel like it's actually, you know, they don't actually feel like they're less of a man for their emotions, because other men are saying, I see you, I see what you're doing, I value you, and everything that you're showing me right now from an emotional perspective is beautiful.
Right? And it's
that's when all of it changes.
And it's also, I'm here too doing the same thing. Like I see you, I feel you, because I too experience this. And that's really such a powerful conduit for change, right? And this also, this conversation is also making me think, and I think it's really important to touch on, especially when we go back to this quote unquote toxic masculinity, which I'm going to find a new name for now, is the idea that from a spiritual sense, there is the divine masculine and the divine feminine. And so there is the idea that when you are in the wounded masculine or in the wounded feminine, there's other things that kind of come up from that. And it's so many men hear this idea of feminine energy and they're like, well, no, I don't have that because I'm a man and, you know, whatever. But everyone has this within them. And so when you are able to embrace your emotions, you can tap into your feminine side and not be in that wounded masculine, and realizing that a healthy mind, body, soul connection comes from a balanced masculine and feminine. It's needed, and you can see it in humans, you can see it in the plant world, you can see it everywhere, is that it is that connection of the two things. They are both needed in order to make something, in order to reproduce, in order to grow. And you can't live with just one or the other. It's the yin and the yang. There is a universal law around this, right? And so everyone needs that balance. It's like, imagine, and this is again for, you know, talking from a heterosexual point of view, but like women, imagine, or men who are listening, if there are any homosexual men listening, it's this idea of like, imagine having a man who speaks his truth, a partner who speaks his truth, who isn't afraid to cry, who encourages communication and not just stuffing everything down, who can be a good listener for you and there to support you, like who is in touch with his feminine side, who is also, you know, for a lot of women who crave that because that's the masculine side that they need to balance them out, is someone who's manly, who's a rock, who is trustworthy and reliable and like powerful, right? Who's successful in their own right. But it's that, that balance. And I think that that is one of the things that is not in society right now. And this is why it's so important for you to be doing this work, is that you're helping to reestablish that yin and yang flow. And I think that's so beautiful.
And I'd love to chat, like to, sorry, to touch on that too, because I think it, this really comes down to holding space, right? And one of the biggest things is that men can't hold space. And the, my biggest personal struggle is not being able to hold space for the emotions that come up within me, where I'm trying to, like, let's say, push them away. But if I can hold space for myself, right? And I can hold space for the emotions and I can say, I accept that I am feeling sad. I accept that I'm feeling uncertain. I accept that I'm feeling, you know, insert emotion there, shame, guilt, and that, whatever.
And that it's okay.
And that's the yin, right? That's the feminine, right? The feminine is there to hold space for. So it's like men need to actually learn how to, and this is where they get it wrong, because it's not about feminine and masculine.
Right.
It is about these, like, as you pointed out, these two balancing pieces, right? So the feminine is holding space for the masculine over here. The masculine is very much that do, that powerful energy, the energy that gets shit done, right? And then the feminine holds space for that. But you cannot be a truly integrated person, and you cannot be truly powerful in your masculinity unless you have that feminine component of you holding space for the masculine component of you. And I actually don't necessarily think that women want men who are powerful. I think that, like, that kind of goes back to this idea that, you know, it's about power and masculinity and all that. I really think that, you know, in my relationships with a lot of women in my life, one of the most powerful things that I could do was just simply hold space for them.
Right.
Right. And not fix the problem, not go into like this traditional masculine thing of like, well, have you tried this? Did you call this person? Did you go, maybe you should just go work out a couple times, go for a run. That would fix it. Like, that always helps me. Just being able to be there and say, what do you need right now? Is I found such a powerful question asking, and this goes for both men and women, asking a person, what do you need right now?
How can I support
you? And allow, how can I support you? What do you need right now? And that applies not only to other people, but it applies to ourselves. Ooh. Right. And so it applies to me asking myself, what do I need right now?
Right.
Right. And then I think it's like, you know, once you have that, then it doesn't just become about masculine versus feminine and the label associated with it. It becomes about integration.
Yes.
Right. And when you're fully integrated, you are able to have that soft front and the strong back, which is a term that a friend of mine, and I think this applies to both men and women, where it's like you can be inviting and emotional and hold space for what is coming, but you're not letting your boundaries be crossed. And you're at a point where you can say, okay, yeah, no, that's, I'm not good with this anymore. And that's where the strength comes from. It's like, I can invite this in and I can let you say whatever you're saying. But once you actually come across my boundaries, I'm able to be like, nope, we're not doing that anymore.
Right.
Right. So I really think it comes down to this, like, and I think this is why women are so integral in men actually going and speaking with men. It's because, you know, women have been doing this for a long time, but if women can hold space for what's coming up and actually say, you know what, I still see you as a strong, powerful, masculine man, even though you are crying right now.
Yeah.
Right? Giving men that safety to be emotional and to know that they won't be viewed as any less of a man because they aren't. If right. they feel a certain thing, that is such a huge thing that women can give men right now. And also, like, you know, a very direct shrug in the direction of communities like Tether, and just say, you know what, I think you need to go talk with a few guys about this, get emotional, get into it. I'll be here when you come back, but you really need to chat with another dude about this.
Which is so good. Such a good plug, good segue. So tell us about Tether, the launch, and everything that you have coming up.
Yeah, so I mean, right now we have our beta, which is going to be launching on Friday, and really it provides a thread-based community where men can go in and share on whatever they're feeling, reply to other people's posts, like, you know, honor each other's posts. We have like a badge system that we're going to be rolling out as well. Right now, what we really want to do is spread as much awareness of this. So, you know, we're going to be chatting with every single one of our friends, telling them to download it. In the case of men, in the case of women, we'll actually be asking that they share it on their timeline. And I think this is a very small thing that women can do is, you know, sharing about these communities, sharing and saying, you know, to the men in my life that I love, please go and explore yourself and connect with yourself and connect with other men, because it's going to be so much better for all of our lives. So we're asking women to actually go out and share that and say, this is a community. And I just want to let all of the men in my life know that I love. And I know that your listener base is probably mostly female. So if you are listening to this, and you do want to help the men in your life feel more connected and you want to have a better relationship with them, please share something about Tether in your networks. And it's like even you posting that and like three people see it and then another person posts and three people see it. That's the way that we're actually going to be able to build this, is through that ripple, as you keep saying, right?
Yeah.
Like letting that ripple out into society. So that's a really exciting thing for us. I mean, it's been a few months in the making getting us to this point. I have a really talented and awesome pair of co-founders in my two co-founders, Denny and Burke, and it's been a real joy working with them. I certainly wouldn't be here without them. Not only from, you know, just, you know, their skills and their talents being different than mine, but also like we've supported each other through this process. And, you know, I haven't been able to hold it together every day, and they've been there for me when I've needed it and vice versa. So
the words of a true entrepreneur, because that is, I'm sure, how every entrepreneur feels. It's like that up and down of the stock markets, just feeling great some days,
sure.
Terrible others.
And some days I'm just like, what have you gotten yourself into, right? But I mean, that is the hero's journey part of all of this, right? Absolutely. It is, you know, slaying the dragons and all of that kind of stuff. So, I mean, from your listener base, like, please, you know, you can find us at www.tether.men. I know that I'll be sending you a link where you can share it on your timeline. I know you'll do it, right?
Of course.
Right.
Ladies. It,
right.
Ladies. No, yes, of course. Everyone listening, go be an ally. Share this episode with men that you love, please, because this is the way that, again, as Matt said, the message gets shared. I know there will be women who are like, oh my goodness, this is my partner, my husband, my father, my son, like whomever needs mm-hmm. to hear this. So please share.
And I firmly believe that, like, yes, we are trying to bring, a product to men that's going to be used by men, but we will absolutely not be able to do this without the support of women.
But also, it's going to not only just help support men, it will then venture out and support women by default, right?
So, yeah, by creating better men.
Of course.
Because that's what we're hoping to do, is we're hoping to create a community where, you know, men not only, you know, connect more deeply with themselves and other men in their lives, but we want this to impact everybody that their lives come into touch with, right? And it's so important. Like, you know, I've, you know, my mom, my sister, right? Like, you know, I want them to benefit from what I'm doing as well. And I know that the way that everybody benefits and that this becomes like a positive thing for society is if we maintain the container, we have very clear boundaries and guidelines as to why we're here, what we're doing, and we have the support of women who know that what we're actually trying to do is help men live more deeper, connected, meaningful, and healthy lives by actually being able to connect with themselves, their emotions, and then being able to share that with other men as well.
Which is just such a beautiful thing. I'm like sitting here and my energy is like buzzing. So excited for this. So by the time that this episode launches, you guys will be up in full effect. So that being said, women, share, men, download the app. And where can people, I know you just listed the website, but do it again. And where can people find you on social media?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find us at www.tether.men. We are on Instagram at Tether for Men. Is our handle, same on Twitter. On Facebook, you can go and like our Facebook page. We're also on LinkedIn as well. We are also actively looking for people who are really good in social media, because that is not my forte, and I'm responsible for all of these things. So we're actively looking for people who want to help on a part-time basis to help us really create a visual identity and a brand for Tether, especially on Instagram right now. Whatever you feel compelled or called to do when it comes to interacting with Tether, if you just want to reach out and say, hey, I love what you guys are doing. If you want to reach out and say, hey, I really need support. If you're a man specifically and you say, I really need support and I don't know what I'm doing. If you're a woman and you say, I just want to be able to help, you know, some men in my life who I think could really use it, please reach out, DM us. You know, you can email me, matt@tether.men. Like, there's my email address. Send me a direct email. I'm open to speaking with most anyone.
Awesome. And by the way, that is T-E-T-H-R. No E.
Yep, no E in there. Yeah, T-E-T-H-R.
Yes. Matt, thank you so much for coming on here, for sharing your message. And really, I just want to like, thank you. I know you and I are both kind of going in similar directions, but I just love when people are able to take their mess and just turn it into their message and do something so good for.
I like that. Taking the mess and turning it into the message. I'm going to tattoo that on something.
It is. It really is. So thank you for doing the work. Thank you for this community. I think it's going to be so powerful and really inspiring. So Yeah, everyone go and check out Matt. He gave you all of the links. They will be in the show notes as well. And we will see you in the next episode.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you loved what you heard, please spread all those good vibes by leaving a 5-star review, as well as screenshotting this episode and tagging @NamasteBabe over in your stories on Instagram. With love and light, the fiercest fuck goddess in me recognizes and honors the fiercest fuck goddess in you. And until next time, Namaste.